going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
I want to welcome you to another edition of Meet Me Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopton, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from A Medlock1 on Twitter, Red Dirt Redbird at the Conclave. We're still, as everybody knows, hanging out at home. We are still without baseball, and which is very, very sad because, I mean, Alan, yesterday was supposed to be opening day. And while MLB did, a fairly cool thing with the idea that they played a game from every team's history or opening day or something like that on their different platforms, whether it's MLB Network or Facebook or their Twitter accounts or whatever, it's just not quite the same as having a new ball game to watch.
No, you're exactly right. Yesterday, these past couple of weeks have been really odd, period, just because, you know, you had the spring break and then you ran into this week, and I feel like I'm kind of lost, and it's to get up in the morning, and then it really hadn't sunk in that I think that I have a senior in high school, and that's part of the reason I think that I was kind of holding off having any of the emotional distractions of everything being canceled and school being canceled and her not getting to experience that stuff and whatnot. Yeah. I've kind of shut that stuff down. Yesterday was the first day that really, really bothered me for that reason. You know, mm-hmm. opening day is such a big deal around my household and with my family. And it was tough. I mean, I watched the Facebook game. I watched a couple pieces of the other games. But you're right. I mean, I could feel the depression coming on yesterday just because I was like, man, this is kind of the reality now. And it stinks. And I'm hoping to get out of this soon. But, yeah, yesterday was the one that bothered me the most of the time that we've had so far of just being quarantined.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch Game 6. Honestly, I think I've told this before, I never have watched Game 6 pretty much all the way through. I saw the endings of it, but I didn't actually watch much of the whole game at the time. Kept a track of it on my phone, but so being able to watch it was kind of nice. You know, I had it, and being able to, you know, quote, live tweet it was fun with 7 or 9 years of retrospect was kind of fun, too. But yeah, I mean, as nice as that was, and it was interesting and fun to rewatch, you know, it just makes you realize that there's nothing new to add to that. And there's not going to be for some time. And there may not be at all. And we'll get into that a little bit, but, it is a different kind of opening week. And I look forward to, you know, hopefully, I know, Alan, you've been one that's said that you think that baseball is going to really go throw out all the stops whenever they can finally start announcing a date and getting into this plan of playing. Does that change as we kind of start talking about a little bit of these agreements that they're talking about now? If they open up with no fans, I mean, there is a possibility that the first few games, the first week or two, maybe they're playing games without fans. I don't know if that's going to actually happen, but it's at least on the table. If that's the case, does that damper what baseball can do to promote it?
I'm not so sure that, I mean, it definitely would, just because fan bases are so, baseball relies on the crowds for gate, for, you know, just for everything that the presence of the crowd brings to the ballpark. They rely on that more than any other sport. And it would take away a little bit from that, maybe a lot bit from that, I'm not sure. But what I think, too, is I think that you have to build up on your marketing. I think that they have to take advantage of this. I mean, and I feel like that they will. And that will kind of be a chink in the armor a little bit to that, but I still think that they need to take advantage. And really, they have a chance to be the only game in town, literally. You know, I don't know. I heard a lot today that the NHL and NBA are both trying to come back, but that could be tough to do. Equally as tough as baseball is going to be to do. But they have a chance to be the only game in town, and this is one of those to where baseball is woven into our culture, and this is going to be a summer opening, and it's means, you know, as opening day is the one that's it's such a bigger deal than in other sports, and I just feel like they need to blow it out. I mean, similar to what the NBA did with the Christmas opening after the strike, they really marketed it well, and they got off the ground in a big way, and I think baseball is being handed that opportunity, and they need to run with it on this one. And I'm completely cool with making some of the changes that they've done. I've kind of gone over some schedule scenarios myself, and I have some selfish ideas behind that. That's just for me, you know, in my proximity to games. But I think they have the opportunity to really take advantage of this and really run with it. And I honestly think that some of it, there's a good start with some of what seems to be a little bit of goodwill. I don't know how much it is goodwill or they just don't want the black eye of doing this while, you know, so many people are affected by this. But I do think they're going to have a golden opportunity to really run with this and really market the heck out of being the only game in town.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I was thinking about when they were talking about playing late, and they still are. They're still talking about, you know, I know there's a tweets out there, I think, from Bob Nightingale that said the players are willing to play till Thanksgiving if they need to get enough games and playoffs and stuff in, which is great. But I start thinking about, okay, well, if you win the World Series on Thanksgiving, are you going to be able to then turn around and be ready to go February, very beginning of February for spring training? And assuming next year is a full year, maybe. I mean, they could. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be some sacrifice there. But that's what makes me think, you know, like you're talking about with the NHL and the NBA. You know, if baseball can't start until June, does the NBA want to try to, you know, pick up, play whatever, a couple of weeks of games maybe? Or do they start straight with the playoffs? Even so, playoffs for the NBA take a month anyway. I guess that's, although I guess they usually do run, what, June to July somewhere, it feels like. I don't know. But I'm just, you start wondering if there's enough turnaround time for those two sports as well to, you know, get through with their season and then start in the winter of 2020 with their 2020-2021 season without, you know, having too much short rest. Is it, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of logistics there. And that's assuming, I mean, we're still assuming that we can start, you know, everybody can start sometime in June. You know, there's a Kirk Herbstreit's out there today saying if he was him, he might even cancel the NFL and college football seasons just because he didn't feel like, and of course he's a broadcaster, not a scientist or a doctor or anything like that. So factor that in, but you know, there's that idea that it might not be feasible for people to get together safely even into September. And if that's the case, man, one, we're all going to be crazy. But, you know, if we go that long without sports, I mean, again, sports is lower in the rankings, of course, than health and well-being, but there's still something about, you know, being without for that long that's going to really tear into what we're used to, what we are as fans and things like that. And so I know the players and the owners came to an agreement that gives, I guess, both sides some motivation to want to play this year. The owners front the players, what, 140, is it 140 million? 170 million to cover salaries through May. And if they don't play a season, that money just doesn't come back. I guess if they do play a season, they'll just credit that toward what the players would have been making. I'm guessing that's how that works. I don't know. I mean, but they're also talking about, you know, if they can't play by July 1st, they're going to scrap the season. And there's, you know, you and I were talking before we got on there about, you know, when is this going to peak and all this kind of stuff. July 1st is, I mean, when you start talking about needing a spring training and stuff before it, that's not out of the realm of possibility. We won't be ready then.
Yeah. And you don't want to rush back. I mean, you want to make sure that the timing's right. And it's like me, I want them to come back. And to kind of go back what you were mentioning about sports and the possibility of college football being done. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this may be on a different level, some people may think, but when you see the Olympics get delayed for a year, I think that cuts pretty deep on some people. Yep. And they're just like, well, if the Olympics are going to do that, there's no sense in playing college football. This is the biggest sporting event, and it only happens every 4 years. That's kind of a different dynamic because you have so many different elements that go into that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many areas, every area of the globe will be there, you know. So that's a different factor. I think that was some of the basis behind Herb Street. I don't know how much of an influence it had, but that's just one of those, when you hear that, you're thinking, well, if that's not going to be played, I don't know if we can play anything at all, because, you know, we're going to fit 100,000 people in some of these stadiums every weekend. And that may just not be doable in that amount of time. But I do think that baseball is going to be smart about it. And I did that. Some of the reports that came out right away after the players union last night, they approved their side of it. The owners did theirs today over a conference call and whatnot. And then more of the information started leaking out a little bit. And then one of the very first things that came out and said that they're going to play when it's right. And they're not going to do this when we can't, you know, when you can't group, and basically when it's safe to do so.
Right.
And you know what, that may be, you know, a little while. I will say this. I think that there were so many concessions from the owners that they fully expect to play. That I'm not so certain that that July deadline may be completely realistic, especially if they're trying to move it into a possible October and into November. Which I like that idea. I like the idea of the neutral field. I like the playoff situations like that. I wouldn't mind them opening in the spring training areas, or if they open on the neutral fields that are in the warm weather cities or the cities away from the more affected areas and stuff like that. I don't think anything's off the table at this point with them. Basically, they're being sensible about it. I do think you have to put that out. I think that has to be the very first thing you put out, is we're only going to do this with safe. Because you look selfish if you don't, you know. So I think there's a little bit of PR behind that. I think there's a lot of truth behind it, but I do think that there's some public relations involved. And I just feel like there's enough that's being said that they're confident that they're going to be back in the ballpark sometime, probably May. I kind of thought it may be earlier than that, and I feel like some of the administration would probably like that to happen a little bit sooner, but I think that we all realize now that that's just not very sensible, you know. In some of the areas, it's dangerous, and everyone's going to be affected at some point, and we're just going to have to weather the storm. But I do feel like there's a little bit of, I believe that they know that they'll probably out of, they expect to be out of the woods and to get quite a bit of season in just by the things that they've given up.
Yeah, I think they definitely want to. Obviously, you know, I don't know how the TV contracts work. I don't know if this means, you know, Fox Sports Midwest is paying, you know, one sixty-second a day less on their contract this year. I assume that's the kind of the way it works. It's only like, you know, they're not going to pay for stuff that they're not using. I don't think it's that way, you know, lump sum. So they are losing significant revenue. Plus the fact that they're, you know, losing revenue from tickets not being sold, and, you know, they're probably earning some interest on the tickets they have sold, but because I doubt they've refunded those yet. But yeah, they want to play. There's no doubt about it, but you know, they don't have a final say in this either. And that's where it gets weird. I mean, because we're used to, not used to, but we've seen work stoppages. We understand those a little bit because we know that in that regard, all it takes is for the two sides to agree on something and, you know, things open back up and we can go keep going. You know, this is all out of their hands. I mean, this is, you know, when the CDC says you can go, then you can go. But even then you start maybe being careful and you start wondering, you know, do you think, I don't know if we've talked about this or not. I think maybe we did a little bit with Tara, but, you know, is this idea of everybody's just going to run to the ballpark because they're so tired of being pent up and they want the ball games back? Is there going to be hesitation to getting back into a group like this? Especially, I mean, yeah, everything may be clear, but if there's even a few cases of that still floating around the country, I could see a lot of people just being hesitant to get in a large group. Alan, turn off the mute.
I can see both sides of that argument. There's going to be some stir crazy, just like we had talked about beforehand. That's ready to get out of the house. And there's going to be that element that is probably afraid to be in large groups, you know, especially the very susceptible, you know, part of the community. Right. I'm hoping by the time that this is done, that it's not a situation of the virus has just ran its course, but we've found a way to combat that. And I keep thinking that we're going to get some kind of concrete, you know, ability to do that before long. But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I know what camp I'm going to be in, and that's I'm willing to get outside right now. You know, I don't want to do anything stupid, but let's be honest. I haven't made the best choices of being out and being around people. You know, that's and Tulsa's done a really good job. You don't see it that much, and we've limited the kids' functions and done a lot of stuff here. But I mean, there's a lot of selfishness to me that I hope it comes back in a big way. And I feel like there's going to be a slow rollout of how things will be back to normal, and we probably won't be back to normal for another year. But I do think that I think people are going to be looking for that retreat or that 3.5 hours away from reality from what we've had in the past, you know, month and a half.
Yeah, it's fair. I will say I think ratings will be very high. Yes, people, great. Even if they don't want to get out, will be wanting to watch something. This agreement, though, between the players and the union, well, it kind of feels like a Washington type of thing because it feels like they padded some stuff in there that didn't necessarily wasn't really important to this whole idea of coming back. And mainly I'm talking about the stuff that they put in with the draft. You can make an argument, I guess, that, you know, because they're having this idea that they're capping the bonuses for those drafted at $100,000, and then part of it gets paid in the future. And I guess you could argue cash flow and things of that nature. And I could see maybe spacing those things out or spreading them out for those players. But they're also talking about cutting the draft down to a minimum of 5 rounds. I mean, it'd probably be more, but it could be 5 rounds in a year where, at least going into it before all this happened, we were talking about one of the deepest drafts that there has been in a long time. It could be that. It could be, you know, what, 20 rounds or something of that nature. It could be some sort of shortened draft. That just, I mean, and that kind of just feels like, and I think you and I have talked about it on Twitter some, really more, less about what's going to happen in the ramifications from the virus, and this idea more toward this idea of contracting minor league teams, because they were talking about shortening the draft a few months ago in relation to this because they don't want to draft as many teams. If they don't have as many teams, they don't have to draft as much to fill those teams. So it just seems a little bit strange to me that this gets shoved into an agreement about service time and other things like that.
Yeah. When I read that last night, I was thinking, man, that is not a good look at all. And thought, that's pretty poor. And I was thinking, this is the player side of this. You know, what's the benefit here? And I get it. I mean, it's more of a, they're looking out for the guys that are making money now. you know, not the minor league guys.
Oh yeah.
And I get it. And it's selfish as it is. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. And I read a little bit more about it this morning. There was more that came out that was I found a little bit interesting is how the ownership wanted to do away with the draft period. And they were like, let's not do this. And, you know, the Players Association came back and said, let's do one shortened. And they came up with a 5-10 round situation. And then you start looking at all the guys that'd be left out. And you think, well, there could be a benefit in that, and that it could benefit college baseball. But in the long run, that's less of an influx of players coming in to field some of these teams that are going to need roster, you know, roster fillers. And that's the scary part of it, is you're thinking that turns into a contraction situation pretty easy. And it seems like an odd, you know, way to go about doing it. And I'm going to stop short of stomach churning, just because anymore the news is so much worse than what we're dealing with in a situation like this, that you almost become numb to it. But this is what I didn't want to happen. I didn't want to read these kind of headlines when I feel like, listen, just play nice for the next year. You know, even if it's, you know, in front of a camera or in front of a mic, just at least fake like you have the best interest of everybody involved. And let's go about business and let's bring this back and let's make it a more of a healing situation than this. So when I read the headline, I was thinking, well, crap, here we go right away. And then this morning when I read that the players had kind of signed off on it, it was still one of those. I was like, well, I understand they're kind of saving they're at least saving the idea of the draft, and the top guys are going to go, but it's still pretty rough and not the best look. And that was what was most disappointing. So I'm willing to see how that turns out. That's a scary situation. I mean, I wouldn't be happy if I was one of those minor league clubs that were on the chopping block to begin with, because I just don't feel like this helps your situation. But, you know, I'm willing to give everybody the benefit of the doubt right now just to see how it all works out. But knowing what we knew 3 months ago to what happened last night still is a little scary to me.
Now, to be fair, this virus may be able to do what MLB couldn't, because I talked about this. You know, there are going to be some of these minor league teams that are going to really struggle this year because, you know, they're probably paying people right now. But, you know, they're not – they don't know. They don't know their schedule. They don't know when they can start playing, because they're probably start – you know, if it's like anything else, they start, you know, a couple of weeks after the major league players do.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, maybe that won't be the case this year, but it won't be anything before that, because MLB is not going to determine their rosters, which, you know, until, you know, almost their opening day. So, you know, if MLB comes back June 1st, and maybe the minor league ball doesn't play till June 15th, then, you know, they probably play through September, which is what they don't typically do. But, you know, minor league ball may have trouble making up, you know, missing 2 months of stuff.
And you're right. I mean, that's the minor league towns. I'll tell you a story that I didn't bring up last week. You know it, but none of the listeners do, because we didn't talk about it. I'm a season ticket holder here in Tulsa, and I got a call from the ticket office saying that they fully expected or were planning to start on April 23rd, and that would allow them to get all of their home dates in. And I thought that was interesting, and I was thinking, you know what? I go, is this – the first thing that popped into my mind is – they're going to open the floodgates after these 15-day, the CDC 15-day presidential guidelines, and this is going to be a dangerous situation. Well, after thinking about it and passing that along, thinking, do you guys think that sounds weird? And you were one of the guys that I text. Well, I went ahead and texted a buddy of mine who actually works in the Texas League, and he kind of reiterated the same thing. And after thinking about it over a night, I was like, you know what? I'm a paying customer, and that's someone they were going to try to keep. And that probably has a lot to do with it. You know, I don't know if it was, I think that was thought out, and I think there was a situation of panic less, we're still with you, you know, the way that it was brought to me was, you know, don't panic, we're planning this is what we've got, subject to change, you know, I'm sure I'll probably get those phone calls every other couple of weeks saying, okay, well, here's the next date and this is what we're going to. And, yeah. And it was one of those, I'm glad we didn't overreact and say anything about it, because after thinking it through, that made a lot of sense. Well, at what you were just talking about, and kind of building off you and Tara a little bit, in the Texas League, that's Oklahoma, Texas, you know, that's where the ball clubs are. You can't go that late into September if you are in kind of in financial distress, because Friday night and weekend games, that's football country.
Yeah.
And there's going to be less crowds there than there will people that are afraid to get out into if they feel like there's still some leftover of the, you know, the COVID-19 and that's mm-hmm. still something that's on the fresh on their mind. So the later it goes for minor league, the more dangerous it is as an organization. So I could see some of those especially in the Midwest, some of those minor league teams are really struggling, you know, because you have that short window of, you know, spring to early fall, mm-hmm. late summer at most. And then, you know, most of your players have moved on, and you know, your crowd has too, because they their eyes or school started. So the kids can't come out in the evening, and then you have the weekends of football, which is just going to kill your crowd. So that's, I've thought about that, you know, and I was thinking that's going to be a tough situation for some of these teams. So I completely agree with you that some of these lower level minor leagues, or I say lower level or less successful minor league teams, probably will feel the crunch pretty heavy.
Well, and you're right. I mean, they may factor in, you know, trying to have, you know, a small crowd versus no, you know, at least having some crowd. I guess it just depends on, you know, whether they can make money out of that, and they may not be able to. But you know, the other side of that is so much of the minor league teams, especially are, I don't want to say reliant on, but they really do need those corporate sponsors from Tulsa or Little Rock or even the smaller towns. You know, the smaller towns are more likely to, and those corporate sponsors aren't going to have the money to necessarily sponsor at the same level they've had before. You know, I mean, they're going to have to be paying their employees. They're going to have a whole lot of, you know, drop in income most likely. So that may trickle down to the teams as well. So they're going to have some issues.
Yeah. And that's something I thought about too, because, you know, Tulsa is really, it's a downtown stadium, beautiful stadium, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of local influence, you know, as far as sponsorship. And I can tell you those restaurants and those breweries, maybe not the breweries as much, but the restaurants and some of the local businesses, I think you will, that if you don't see much of an effect this year, it's probably because that has been paid already.
Yeah.
I would think next year you're going to probably see a real reduction in sponsorship money, to where it may have to be more of a corporate situation, or, you know, you're taking out loans to get advertising to build your business back type situation. But I think that you'll see less of it regardless.
The fascinating thing here is in this agreement that the players seem to give up quite a bit to get the service time that they're looking for, that they're saying basically if the season gets wiped out, it counts as a full season of service time. Now, I don't know if I read, I guess they're going to say that if whatever part they miss of the year counts as service time too, because otherwise it would really behoove, you know, owners to start July 1st and say, oh, that's only half a year of service time, so Mookie Betts isn't a free agent until the All-Star break next year, which would be really weird. I'm assuming, but that is the idea that, you know, what if they miss a whole season and Betts, you know, this big trade, and the Dodgers get nothing for it. I feel like there's going to be something that they do, some sort of making it right for the Dodgers at that point in time. I don't know what it is, and it probably isn't going to actually work, but, it would be tough for them to make such a deal and to have it happen, you know, get nothing out of it, and it had nothing to do with them.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. The way that I read it is that if they play one game, they mm-hmm. get full – that you get the full service time. And if they don't, you basically get two 2019s, and your service time is still counted. So they're going to be free agents at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah.
Is the way that I took it. But yeah, that's what makes me think that the Betts situation and the money situation is what makes me think that the ownership is one of those that they're ready to cross these picket lines and play as soon as possible. You know what I mean? One of those, because they seem to lose the most. But you're right. I'm not sure the deal is the best for the players, but you could tell that it was service time heavy and that was their goal. And that probably says a lot of things, you know, moving forward after 21.
Which is a little bit interesting too. I mean, I get that. I mean, in service time and the related things is like one of those really cherished things for the players. And I get that they don't want to have anything that might infringe on that. That's fine. But you got to figure, as great as, you know, people are going to be going into this, you know, Mookie Betts and JT Realmuto and Trevor Bauer and some other big names. If you thought the free agent market was quiet the last couple of years, it wasn't this past year, but the 2 years before that, it's going to be quiet again this year, I feel like, because I don't feel like Major League Baseball is going to, teams are going to go out and spend very much, because they're not going to, you know, they're going to be still trying to recoup from half a year of missed revenue. I don't know. I think that's going to put a damper on things. And at least if nothing else, they've got that excuse. Doesn't mean that it's true or not, but all Major League Baseball teams need is an excuse not to spend money, and they won't do it. So if I'm Mookie Betts, do I want to be a free agent this year? Or do I rather be a free agent next year? I'm sure, you know, the sooner you get there, the better, but I think that's an interesting little wrinkle in this, is that this coming off season may not be as lucrative as it would have been, you know, in a normal situation. Alan?
It's just a situation where it is so unprecedented, everything that we're dealing with right now. You know, yeah. It's a weird situation. I didn't think about that. You know, this year it seemed to pick up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, well, a lot bit. But, man, those slow off seasons are almost as bad as, you know, that does worse for the game than actually slow pace of play to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Especially, let's think about if they lose the whole season. There's no way teams are going to spend that much money this coming. You know, they're still trying. You don't get a bigger loss than that, because they won't have played the players for sure. So maybe that helps. You know, they've only paid that $170 million or whatever. But, you know, they haven't had any revenue come in for the most part. So, you know, if they lost a season, it would be an icebox, I would think, this winter, which is going to be even worse. I mean, let's boil this down to what's important, as it's our entertainment dollar. You know, we'll have gone like this whole summer without baseball, and then we won't even have the off season hot stove really to do much to us. I mean, I don't know how we would survive till next February. So like I said, that's kind of a doomsday scenario, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Sure. I mean, that's where we are. I mean, it's a scary time as a fan. I mean, I know it's tough to say that line, considering what some people in the bigger cities are dealing with right now. But that's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah. Well, also part of this agreement was a roster freeze. So no more moves. I think there were some that may be in process or whatever. But the Cardinals beforehand did option down some people to minor leagues. Genesis Cabrera, Alex Reyes, Junior Fernandez, Ender Kitzner, all four got sit down. A little bit interesting to think about, especially in the fact that one of the things we didn't talk about is it looks like the first month of the season, players are going to be like a 29-man roster. And I don't know that that's set in stone anywhere. I haven't seen that. It's part of the agreement, but that seems to be being reported. If you're doing that, there's obviously going to be more pitchers. It's a little interesting that they sent down, you know, Fernandez and Cabrera and Reyes, all three could have made the team out of spring training. And I think it was pretty understandable that maybe Reyes and even Cabrera didn't, and Fernandez as well, but all three of those had a good shot. it's very interesting to send them down when you may be able to take more pictures with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it was when I saw that any of those deals, I always feel like I feel for Alex Reyes when those deals are made, but it makes complete sense. And yeah. I'm like, if at any point, if you would have said two of those names went to St. Louis, and I'm even including Kisner in this, two of those names went to St. Louis and two went back to Memphis, any of them, any combination, you would feel, okay, that kind of makes sense. But I felt like Cabrera and Fernandez were really on track to make the ball club. I thought that Fernandez may get some closing situations. I mean, and I thought he may have been knocking at the door of that job. But you know, I wonder if the week and a half off of not doing anything made a difference on that, or if this is probably what they would have done opening day, regardless of performance with those guys, unless somebody else got hurt. So I don't know. It raises a bunch of questions. I would love to hear, and I'm sure we will at some point, the explanation of why those four names are the ones that went down. You know, Kisner's easy, and in all honesty, I mean, Reyes probably should have been easy as well. You know, that's more of a go down, work on your control. You haven't thrown much in the last 2 or 3 years. Then this is how this is going to work, and then we'll figure out how to get you back up. You know, and we'll see. But it's funny. When you and I were talking after those moves were made, I was thinking, man, it seems like all around baseball there was some weird deal. Like when I saw Kopech go down, I was thinking, I do understand that he's coming off Tommy John surgery, and that probably makes a huge difference, and he's going to go down and get minor league innings with the White Sox. And I thought, but man, I felt like he would have been there till the last minute, and then I got home to realize that it was the last minute. That's how out of touch I've been without the game for the last week and a half. And I was thinking, wait a second, that was stupid of me to even say. So. But yeah, it's funny. I would love to hear the thinking behind some of the moves and how much are of them maybe money related, and you know, how much is it, you know, player related. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, and it brings up a lot of questions, because you're right, where we thought that Gomber may be that, or I'll stretch out, whether we thought Gomber or Ponce de Leon may be that sixth starter in Memphis ready to go at any time. I mean, judging by those moves, they may have both made the team. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like, especially Gomber, you're looking at that, and I did a couple days ago, made my rough 26-man roster, which, of course, at the time is what we thought we were looking at. You know, if Andrew Miller's not going north, and we have no idea now. I mean, honestly, have no idea. I think probably more likely he will. Seemed to be kind of getting a feel for things before the shutdown. If he didn't go north, then yeah, you could see, you know, Gomber being that second guy in the bullpen, lefty in the bullpen, assuming you still need it. That's one thing they didn't talk about, is if the rules change would be postponed.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of things we're still going to find out closer to time that they'll hammer out some more of those details. But yeah, I'm a little surprised, because I figured they'd send Gomber to Memphis to let him be that starting depth, but it looks like they're going to do that with Cabrera instead, and Reyes be in that rotation as well. I mean, you've got those two guys down there, and Jake Woodford, and I mean, again, final cuts aren't made. I mean, this roster's not final, but it is a little bit interesting that Dylan Carlson wasn't one of those sitting down. And if we're looking at half a season, if we're looking at you know, expanded rosters, it may be very difficult for the Cardinals not to just have him on that whatever opening day roster. Now, I mean, you know, we've made the argument that, you know, you want to see Thomas, you want to see O'Neill, and you want to get a feel for them, but you're going to have, I mean, they're talking about wanting 140 games. I don't know how they get that done.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you're going to have a shorter span to try to figure this out, so you may just have to bite the bullet and let Carlson start in the big leagues and try to figure out a way to let everybody play. And I mean, that's with doubleheaders and stuff like that may make it a little easier, but it feels like there's a lot of, you know, going to have to compress a lot of things, and that's not going to make it easy.
No, and yeah, that it was funny. I started. I started a schedule from June 1st and went back and even stretched that up to Memorial Day. And I thought, you know what? I could probably add in October, and you could see how that plays. But, I mean, let's just say if you started June 1st, I think you're probably pressing to get 118 to 120 games. If you started on Memorial Day, you could add 7 games onto that. Now, doubleheaders, I guess you could, in theory, go from 127 to 125 to possibly do 140. Now, adding October, you probably could. But that's if you start on June 1st, or if you start on Memorial Day. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like a stretch because then it feels like there's no days off at that point, yeah. And then you're playing through everything, which then becomes a little dangerous, I would think. And mm-hmm. where 29 doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And you felt like they could go 30 or 32 to probably be a little more reasonable. But, I don't know. It's going to be cool to see what they come up with, especially if they're going to maybe even add a round of playoffs. But, I would think an add a round of playoffs is one of those where you would almost want to shorten the regular season and go that route than to add more games on. So yeah, I kind of thought that 140 was a little aggressive too, considering that, the earliest they're going to start going to break camp essentially is that first week of May. And, maybe the second week, and then you can be optimistic about a Memorial Day start. And I think that's more symptomatic, that holiday weekend start, or, the June 1st looks good, but yeah, that's rather aggressive to try to fit 140 games into that situation, that scenario.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, especially with the minor league situation, it may not make sense to send Carlson down when they are going to start, if they start June 15th or whatever, what's the point of sending him down for a month there? When you don't really know all the different ramifications. I think this plays into his hands to at least get a chance to start the big leagues. I mean, honestly, if they're going to take 29 men, you figure, what do you figure? That's a 14-15 split, don't you think? 14 hitters, 15 pitchers?
Yeah, but I would think, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still take an extra hitter. I mean, instead of 13-16, I mean, I think they just take an extra hitter still, in which case again, you start adding that many roster spots, you're going to have to get Dylan Carlson on there because there's not that many people ahead of you. And like I said, maybe if you go 13-16 and you could say, okay, these are the 13 we would have had, and we're just adding 3 pitchers to carry the load while starters are only going 2 or 3 innings, maybe. But I think it becomes harder to make that argument in good faith that, he needs to be there. Of course, again, nobody knows anything about what this is going to be like. So,
yeah. I in the back, just then when we were talking, I was like, I'm so glad we're talking about the roster, though. You know what I'm saying? I understand this is, hypothetically when they're going to start or whatnot, but it feels so nice to talk about players.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But, it feels like with that extra, you're going to see Gomber, you're going to see Ponce de Leon. And those are going to be guys that are going to be so valuable this, especially that beginning of the season, because like we said, starters are only going to go, they're probably not going to go 5 innings for a couple times through. You're going to need those guys, and especially if you're double headers, you're going to need those guys that can go 3 or 4 or 5 innings in relief. You may only see him once or twice. You may see a little bit of piggybacking going on, but to have those kind of guys who had such a good spring be able to supplement what that rotation's going to be like, which, again, that rotation may include Miles Michaelis by the time this thing starts, too.
Great point.
Which means that you have KK as another guy that can do the little... I mean, you easily could do what... You could really do a piggyback on at least 3 of those guys with those, I mean, if you hadn't sent down Reyes and Cabrera, I could say you could have basically a starting rotation that's, Flaherty followed by Reyes. Then you have, Michaelis followed by Kim, Martinez followed by Gomber. I mean, something like that for 2 or 3 times through the rotation and see what you, that would help a whole lot. So I don't know. I think it's going to be, there's so many different variables, and you kind of worry about what it's going to be like. I will say, you mentioned the expanded rosters or expanded playoffs. I'm hoping, if they do that, that this is a one-time thing. But I'm afraid that once they do it, it's going to be very difficult for them to turn that down to keep going it. I know we've talked about it some. I'm really just not in favor of 14 teams, basically half the league, getting into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little indifferent about it. I'm not so adverse to change on some of those things. Just, one, I would love to add that college basketball feel to it and you know, have the excitement. There's always in the thing in the back of your mind, though, is how much it's going to water down and how much mm-hmm. it de-emphasizes the regular season, which is a kind of which would be my concern on the deal. So, but as far as this goes, I do wonder about that. I do kind of have those concerns of, I do think you can experiment with some fun stuff. I think you almost need to. I think that you have a chance to, in a shortened season and in the scenario to where you really can't do anything wrong just because fans are going to be glad to see you back. I like the trial and error on that kind of stuff, but you do kind of feel like this, both the ownership and the Players Association are putting their foot in the ground on some of these changes that they would rather see permanent than you know, temporary.
Yeah. Well, I think back to a little bit to, 2011 and when that, and game 162, when everything was so exciting and dramatic and stuff like that. And well, the next year, the baseball adds the wild card game, to try to capitalize on that. And it's not quite the same thing. And it's expanded the playoffs, and you can argue lots of different things you can argue about it, but it just feels like, yeah, if it comes out this year and it's like, oh wow, we had a lot of people watching it, we're going to do this constantly. Well, maybe because people are watching it because, it's a weird season. They haven't watched very much baseball, or it's a novelty. It's kind of like interleague play. We've talked about it somewhat, but interleague play was a novelty, and now it's like just another thing on the calendar that nobody really pays any attention to. And, it just seems like baseball likes to take exceptions and make them the rules, and it doesn't work that way very well.
Yeah,
I don't think. But they don't ask me a lot of these things either. So. I guess that's roughly where we're at right now. Al, is there any points out of this week that maybe have come up that I've forgotten about?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that the news that came out yesterday and with passing and in the meetings and whatnot, that takes the cake. That's kind of what we've kind of been waiting on. At least it kind of gives us an idea of what's going to happen, if and when they do come back. I'm confident they will. I think that they're confident that they will. My only deal about the schedule is I know that it would have been a nightmare to do it any other way. I feel like they could have gotten a little more creative on how they do the scheduling, eliminate interleague, go all National League or American League. And if you're going to go division heavy, keep it division heavy, but I mean, picking it up where it is, that makes a lot of sense. It's the path of least resistance. And, then you're appeasing season ticket holders or game ticket holders for, the month and a half of lost games, as opposed to, trying to fit how you're going to fit them in the stadium for the rest of the season. So it makes a lot of sense. I kind of wish they would have played around with it a little bit. I think the minor leagues with less teams, each individual league, I think they'll be able to do that and play around with the schedule a little bit, maybe cut a game versus each, home and away from, if they're going to cut any games, it'd be easier to do that way with less teams, basically. And I understand where baseball is coming from, but I feel like they could have. I feel like there's always a contingency plan in organizations this big where they probably could have done something. That was my only disappointment, really, of the thing of it coming out. I mean, the fact that there could be baseball, I wasn't going to look for anything negative, So, yeah. But no, other than that, I think that we finally touched on everything, and that's the only news. The two main points of the roster moves and meetings yesterday that we intended to hit on, and I can't think of anything else.
Well, I will say, as you talk about them picking up the schedule there, I looked at that just a little bit ago. If they pick up at June 1st, the Cardinals are done with the West Coast, basically. Mm. They have a trip in September that's three games in Arizona and three games in San Francisco. That's it. So, you know, I don't know how that works. I mean, you know, sometimes you could say, you know, playing a game on an off day, you know, if you're in Pittsburgh and you're going to Chicago, then maybe play the Phillies on an off day in between or something like that. You know, even if it's just one game, may have a lot of one game scattered around. How do you do a West Coast trip, you know, for the Cardinals? And maybe that's October, which is not much fun, you know, for the Cardinals either. I mean, to make that, if they're making a playoff push, to then have to go spend a good chunk of the last month of the season out on the West Coast, you know, that's always a drawback. I mean, granted, you deal with it, and it's not going to be fair for everybody. There's going to be, you know, that's part of the deal. I mean, with an imperfect schedule here, you know, not everybody's going to play everybody the same amount of times. And that is, you know, one of the few arguments I can see for expanding the playoff roster this year, because, I mean, you know, the number of teams, just because it's more likely to get you the right team, the team that should have been there, because, you know, it may be a team that finishes a couple of games out of, well, say the Cardinals finish a couple of games out of the last wild card or whatever, but, you know, they had to play October, you know, out in the West Coast, or, you know, they miss games against Pittsburgh that the Cubs got to play, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's going to be some of that this year, and sure. And that's why I could at least understand adding more teams to the playoffs for this year. I just don't want to see it except go any farther than that.
Sure. Yeah. That's, you know, at least we have the, a baseline of what we can go off of now, and whether that is scheduling, start, or playoffs. And, you know, that's basically what we wanted, with some news.
Yep. Yep. So anyway, we hope everybody is staying safe and staying sane, which is a difficult thing to do if you're having to stay inside. Hopefully you're stocked up. Hopefully you're able to order supplies if you're not. Alan and I'll be back. Well, like I said, we'll play it by ear. We were lucky enough to have news this week. Maybe we'll come back next. We had some interesting ideas about things we could do, to maybe some retrospectives on some other teams or things like that. So maybe we'll try to do those in the next week or so. So just keep it tuned here, if you will. If you're subscribed, you'll get the notifications when we put one up. If you're not subscribed to us, go ahead and subscribe. That way you'll know when we come up with an episode. But until next time, that is Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate, a swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!